At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into a story that's both fascinating and a little unsettling.
Yeah, it's one of those situations you never think could happen to you.
Exactly. It's about what happens when you know your dream of this peaceful lakefront property kind of collides with some truly strange neighborly behavior.
Yeah. And this one really brings up some questions about, you know, property rights.
Right.
What it even means to be a good neighbor these days.
Yeah.
And how even something that seems like it should be really straightforward legally can take these really unexpected turns.
Totally. And we're calling this deep dive When a Lake Becomes a Battleground.
Ooh, I like that.
And to guide us through all of this, we're going to unpack the experiences of Shirley from Paulding County, Georgia.
And Shirley's story, unfortunately, is something that I think a lot of property owners have probably faced in some way or another.
Yeah.
Especially when you start getting into the weeds of things like boundary disputes or inheriting property.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So let's set the scene here. Picture this. Beautiful piece of land in Georgia.
Beautiful.
Passed down through generations.
Wow.
Complete with a private lake.
That's the dream.
I know, right? That's where Shirley and her husband lived. Hmm. For over a century, this land has been in her husband's family.
Wow.
So we're talking like deep roots here.
Deep roots.
But things get complicated in 2019 after the passing of her husband's aunt.
Oh.
They inherit the remaining portion of the lakefront, which, you know, seemed like a pretty simple transaction at the time.
Right. You would think so.
You would think so.
Family property being inherited by family.
Yeah.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Exactly.
But that's not always the case.
Unfortunately not.
And for Shirley, this is where the trouble began.
It is. And it all started with two neighbors.
Oh, boy.
Both of whom caused their own unique set of problems.
Two neighbors.
Too many.
The first neighbor lived in a house that was previously owned by the aunt. It was perched on a hill overlooking Shirley's property.
Okay.
You know, that kind of view that most people would dream of?
But instead of just like enjoying it.
Right.
This neighbor started acting very strangely.
Okay, what do you mean strangely? Give me some details.
So we're talking constant watching and filming Shirley on her own property.
Right?
Yeah, this neighbor would even make remarks about owning the view.
Owning the view, that's wild.
Which is a pretty bizarre claim to make.
That's not how any of this works.
About someone else's property. And this behavior escalated to the point where the neighbor took Shirley to court.
No way.
Believe it or not, over her planting shrubs on her own property.
Shrubs. They took her to court over shrubs.
Shrubs. I mean, seriously, it sounds almost comical.
It does.
But I imagine it was incredibly frustrating for Shirley to deal with.
Absolutely. You're trying to enjoy your property, beautify it a little bit.
Right.
And you've got this person taking you to court over it.
It's unbelievable.
Thankfully, it sounds like common sense prevailed in this case.
It did.
And the judge dismissed it.
The judge was like, get out of my courtroom.
Basically. But you know, this really highlights how far some people are willing to go to exert control.
I know.
Over property that isn't theirs. It's all about
pushing boundaries.
Testing the limits.
Exactly.
Wow. So you'd think that would be the end of it.
Right. You would hope.
But unfortunately for Shirley, things were just getting started.
Oh, no.
In another strange twist, she and her husband received a notice from the tax assessor's office one day.
Uh-oh.
It turned out that their property, the land that had been in the family for a century, was listed under their neighbor's address.
Are you serious? See, that's what I'm talking about.
Let me know.
This is where it gets really unsettling.
It is.
That kind of error, you know, makes you wonder about the potential for manipulation of official records, which can have really serious consequences.
For sure.
Imagine that headache. Your own property.
Gone.
Basically. At least on paper.
It's mind-boggling. So how did they even manage to get it straightened out? Thankfully, Shirley was able to get it resolved with the tax assessor's office.
Okay.
But you can imagine the stress and the confusion involved.
I'm sure. Yeah.
In having to prove your own land that's been in your family for generations.
Right, generations.
This really highlights how important it is to keep your property records organized.
Yes.
And to be vigilant about any discrepancies.
Absolutely.
Because you never know.
You never know.
When something like this might pop up.
It sounds like a nightmare scenario.
It does.
But unfortunately for Shirley, the nightmare didn't end there.
Oh, no.
While dealing with a pesky and potentially manipulative neighbor.
Right.
And messed up tax records wasn't enough.
Well, there's more.
An entirely new problem emerged. Pollution.
Oh, no.
This time, it wasn't the neighbor, but a company called Greystone Power, which was building a new headquarters upstream from Shirley's property.
Okay, so this part of the story brings up these really important questions about environmental responsibility.
For sure.
And the impacts that corporate actions can have on private citizens.
Absolutely. Especially when it comes to things like water pollution.
Exactly. Water is life.
So what happened exactly? Did Greystone just start dumping waste into the lake?
It wasn't intentional dumping.
Okay.
But the consequences were still really severe. During a period of heavy rain, Greystone Power experienced this major breach in their sediment control measures.
Okay, so for those who don't know a lot about construction and environmental regulations,
sure.
What are sediment control measures?
So basically any construction project, and especially ones that are located near water,
right.
They're required to have these measures in place to prevent soil erosion and runoff.
So like things like silt fencing and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Things like silt fencing, you know, retaining walls, sediment basins.
Right.
All designed to keep that soil in place.
To protect the surrounding environment.
Exactly.
So I'm guessing all that eroded soil and who knows what else ended up in Shirley's lake.
Exactly. And this is where things get really, really troubling. This wasn't just, you know, a little bit of muddy water. This was bad. We're talking like murky brown water, thick with silt and debris.
Oh, God.
It totally changed the character of the lake and the whole environment around it.
Yeah.
Imagine waking up one day and your beautiful lakefront property
right.
looks more like a construction zone.
That's heartbreaking. Oh, that's awful. It must have been devastating for Shirley and her husband.
Oh, yeah.
To see their family's lake, you know, damaged like that. So what happened next? Did Greystone Power take responsibility for this?
It became a very public issue.
Okay.
The local news even picked up the story.
Wow.
Highlighting the pollution and the potential environmental damage.
Yeah.
And eventually, due to, you know, public pressure and the severity of the situation.
Right.
A stop work order was actually issued to Greystone Power.
Okay. That's good, at least. So were they able to clean up this mess at all?
To some extent. They brought in an environmental company to try to remediate the damage. But you're talking about months.
Oh, wow.
Of testing, dredging, trying to restore that lake's ecosystem. It's a long and arduous process.
Yeah, I bet. And even with all that effort, you know, it's hard to imagine that they could fully reverse that kind of environmental damage.
Right. I mean, you can remove the immediate sediment.
Right.
But it's the long-term effects of pollution like that that are difficult to fully assess.
Absolutely.
You know, it disrupts the natural balance of the lake.
Right.
It can impact wildlife water quality.
Of course.
Even property values for years to come.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is why those sediment control measures are in place.
Exactly.
To prevent exactly this.
Prevention is key.
It is. This part of Shirley's story really reminds us that environmental damage, you know, it doesn't just affect big corporations.
Right.
It has very, very real consequences for individuals and communities.
It's a ripple effect.
It is. And it's about safeguarding our natural resources for everyone.
Absolutely. Mm. And this case really, I think, highlights the importance of holding those companies accountable.
Yes.
For their environmental practices.
Yes.
Even when those practices, you know, they weren't intentional in this case.
Yeah.
Accidents happen.
They do. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by these situations. Like, as one person, you can't fight against a big corporation.
Right.
What can someone like Shirley, or any landowner for that matter, what can they do to protect themselves from this kind of thing?
That's a great question. Mm. You know, knowledge is power.
It really is.
Familiarize yourself with local environmental regulations.
Okay.
The development projects that are happening in your area.
Right.
If you live near a body of water, be aware of potential sources of pollution upstream.
Be aware. Be vigilant.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And if you experience something like this, document everything.
Yes.
Contact your local authorities.
Right.
Don't be afraid to reach out to environmental advocacy groups.
There are people out there who want to help.
Absolutely. They can provide guidance and support.
It's a good reminder that we all have a role to play in protecting our environment.
We do.
For sure. Sadly, as we'll uncover, the pollution was only one battle that Shirley had to face.
Oh, no.
While dealing with the fallout from the sediment breach, a whole new problem emerged.
Oh, boy.
The second neighbor we mentioned earlier.
Right.
We're going to call him Mr. D.
Mr. D.
Okay. He had recently bought that house right next to the lake.
Yeah.
Remember the one that Shirley's husband's sister had sold?
Right, right, right.
This is where things, I think, take a really interesting turn.
Okay.
Legally speaking.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
The previous neighbor was a nuisance.
Right.
But Mr. D's actions bring up all these questions about property ownership.
Okay.
Access rights. And the limits of what someone can and cannot do on their property when it borders someone else's.
It gets complicated.
It does. And it gets complicated because this lake has always been considered private, right?
That's right. This isn't like a public lake with shared access for everyone.
Exactly.
The property line is very clearly marked.
Okay.
Edge of water is the property line.
Mm, okay, so it's crystal clear.
Crystal clear. So there's a definite legal boundary in place.
So how is this even a question? It seems really straightforward to me.
Right.
Shirley and her husband own the lake. The property line is the water's edge.
Uh-huh.
End of story.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah.
But Mr. D seemed to be operating under a very different understanding.
Okay.
Or a deliberate disregard.
Okay.
Of those boundaries.
Yeah.
He sees a lake. He wants to use it.
Right.
The fact that it's private property doesn't seem to matter to him.
So are we talking about just enjoying the view here? Or did Mr. D take things a step further?
No, he definitely took things a step further.
Yeah.
We're not talking about casual walks by the water here.
Oh, no?
Mr. D was engaging in some pretty bold behavior.
Like what?
We're talking nighttime boating.
What?
Sometimes with a flashlight, sometimes in complete darkness.
On someone else's lake.
On a lake he did not own.
That's crazy. Talk about a lack of boundaries.
It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Right. It's giving very much I don't care energy.
Exactly. And it brings up some serious safety concerns, too.
Right. Because nighttime boating, especially in unfamiliar waters, can be incredibly dangerous.
You've got submerged obstacles, varying depth, potential for accidents in the dark.
Right. And I'm guessing that since he felt so entitled to be on the lake,
yeah,
he probably wasn't too concerned about things like safety regulations or, you know, respecting the environment either.
You are picking up what we are putting down.
Okay, good.
Mr. D's blatant disregard for the rules did not stop at just boating.
Oh, no. What else did he do?
Shirley and her husband, they had a catch and release policy on the lake.
Okay.
To protect the fish population.
Makes sense.
Mr. D, however, did not subscribe to that philosophy.
Oh, no, he didn't. What did he do?
They witnessed him allowing his dogs to nip at the fish he caught.
No.
Leaving them injured and vulnerable.
That's awful.
Yeah.
It's one thing to disregard property lines like that.
Right.
But to actively harm the environment that you're trespassing on.
Come on.
That just takes things to another level.
It really does. It speaks to a certain mentality.
It does.
A sense of entitlement, a lack of respect for the property and the natural environment.
So we've got nighttime boating a disregard for conservation, even letting his dogs harm the fish. I mean, at what point does Mr. D realize he's crossed a line?
It seems like Mr. D was pretty firmly convinced that he was in the right.
Wow.
When Shirley finally confronted him about the trespassing.
Okay.
His response was, and I quote, "I have access. It's in the deed."
Wait, what? Did he actually think that that gave him the right to just do whatever he wanted on their property?
So it turns out there's another little twist to this story.
Okay.
When Shirley's husband's sister sold the house to Mr. D,
right,
she included a clause in the deed stating that the new owners could use the lake.
Hold on. How could she grant access to a lake that she didn't own? It doesn't make sense.
Right. It's a head scratcher, for sure.
Yeah.
And it brings up this really important point about property law.
Okay.
A deed is a legal document, right?
Right.
It outlines property ownership and any associated rights or restrictions.
Okay.
But those rights are typically limited to the specific property being transferred.
So she couldn't just give away access to someone else's property.
Exactly. You can't grant rights that you don't have.
Right. Okay. So in this case, it seems like she may have overstepped her bounds a little bit.
It sounds like it.
Just because something is written in a deed doesn't automatically make it legally binding.
Right.
Especially if it infringes upon the rights of another property owner.
Exactly. The legal system is rarely that simple, unfortunately.
It sounds like it. This is where things go from bad to unbelievable, right? What happened next?
So after months of dealing with this conflict, the trespassing, the disregarded rules is the environmental damage.
Right.
Shirley and her husband, they decided they had to take a stand.
Okay.
They contacted the authorities about removing the dock that Mr. D was using to access the lake.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, the dock was this very tangible symbol of his encroachment.
Exactly. It was this constant visible reminder.
Right.
That someone was asserting a right over their property.
They wanted it gone.
Yes. They hoped that removing it would send a clear message.
Okay, so they removed the dock, hoping that that's the end of it.
Right. Problem solved.
Yeah, you would think so.
Well, this is where the story takes its most shocking turn through what Shirley suspects involved. You know, maybe connections bribe some kind of legal loophole.
Oh, no.
Mr. D is granted official access to their private lake.
What? Are you serious?
By the judicial system.
I can't believe it. All that. And somehow Mr. D ends up winning. How is that even possible?
It really is mind-boggling, isn't it?
Right.
You have a system that's designed in theory to protect property rights.
Right.
And yet it somehow ends up granting access to someone who has, for all intents and purposes, been like a persistent trespasser.
I feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
How can a deed that was amended without the knowledge or consent of the actual property owner, how can that supersede established property lines?
It's a really good question.
Yeah.
It's one that I think goes to the heart of fairness and due process.
It is.
Now, obviously, we can't really delve into the specifics of the legal arguments.
Right.
Without knowing all the details of the case.
Why, of course.
But I think this outcome raises some serious concerns about potential flaws within the system.
Right.
The role of legal representation and the possibility that individuals, you know, they could exploit loopholes or leverage influence to try to achieve a favorable outcome.
Right. It makes you wonder, like, what's the point of having these laws and regulations?
Well,
they can be so easily manipulated.
Exactly. It's a tough situation all around.
It is. It's incredibly disheartening, especially for Shirley and her family who have already been through so much.
Absolutely. It really highlights how important it is.
Yes.
To understand your rights as a property owner.
Yes. Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. It's about due diligence, consulting with legal experts, and just being aware of all the complexities that can arise in these kinds of situations.
Because it can happen to anyone.
It really can.
Well, this deep dive into Shirley's experience has been eye-opening, to say the least.
It's definitely a wild ride.
It is. It's a story that really reminds us that even seemingly straightforward legal matters can become incredibly complex.
They can spiral out of control so quickly.
They really can. And it highlights how important it is to protect yourself and your property.
Absolutely.
Because you never know what you might be up against.
You really don't.
Be prepared.
Be prepared. That's right. A big thank you to our expert for guiding us through this incredibly complex case.
Happy to be here.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on The Deep Dive.
Until next time.
Until next time, stay curious.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.